Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is said that Christianity is the only religion in the world that can be proven false. And to prove it false, all you have to do is go out and find the dead bones of Jesus. All the false gods of this world have lived and died, and they're still buried in the grave. Christ alone has lived, died, and risen again. Bones from the grave would prove that his corpse had not risen from the dead. Now, some claim that Jesus was never laid in the tomb in the very first place, but we have eyewitness testimony recorded in Holy Scripture. St. Mark writes that Joseph of Arimathea placed Jesus in the tomb and rolled a large stone against the entrance. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, saw where Jesus was laid. Death was not part of God's original creation, but it entered the world through Adam and Eve when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. They doubted God's word and trusted the lies of the serpent, and they ate from the forbidden tree. And because of their transgression, sin has been passed down from generation to generation. All will die because of their sin. No one escapes death. Mortality is 100%. And unless Jesus returns really soon, you too will suffer death and be laid in the tomb. St. Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death." But God would not let death and the devil have its way. He would leave the glory of heaven and enter this world as a baby. And he would grow, and he would suffer all the same temptations that you have, all the same disappointments that every human being has suffered. The Son of God would personally experience human life in its fullest, its wonder, and in all of its distress and suffering. But Jesus did much more than merely experience the life that we live. The sinless Son of God didn't deserve to die, so he also willingly experienced the death that you and I deserve to die. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who had no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our God isn't a God who came to be served, but he came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. On the day that Jesus was crucified and died for the sins of all the world, the Sabbath was approaching and there was not enough time to properly prepare the body for burial. So Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did the best that they could, wrapping the body with myrrh and ointment. And when the Sabbath was passed, at dawn's first light, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, wishing to serve their good friend and rabbi Jesus one last time, they packed up their spices and began the journey to the tomb. They wanted to properly anoint Jesus' body. Well, they had forgotten Jesus' promise that he would die and be raised again on the third day. So as they're grieving and their sorrow, they go to the tomb thinking that they're going to find a dead body. Because where else would Jesus' dead body be? And caught up in their grief, it wasn't until they were on their way that they began to wonder, how are three small women going to roll the huge stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But according to God's plan, as they approached the tomb, the stone had already been moved aside. So they looked inside the tomb, and they did not find a dead body. They found a living young man sitting there dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. Who wouldn't be alarmed? You go to the tomb expecting to find a dead body, but you find an angel dressed in white, a messenger from God who says, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Jesus had told them ahead of time, but they did not believe. Three times Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem to be delivered over to sinful men who would flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he would rise from the dead. And just 3 days earlier, on the day that Jesus was betrayed, the night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus told his disciples, "You will all fall away, but after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee." 3 days prior, Jesus told them that he would meet them in Galilee. But the disciples were too busy to remember. They were hiding in fear of the Jews. And the women told no one at first because they too were afraid. And when they finally got the courage to tell the disciples, Luke records that their words seemed to the disciples an idle tale, and they did not believe them. An idle tale. They're thinking that either the women are delusional in their grief, or someone's pulling a prank on them. Sure, let's pull a prank. Go take the body. That Easter afternoon, the Emmaus disciples are traveling down the road in their grief. Their hopes are crushed because they thought Jesus was dead, and even after the women had told them, they still believe him to be dead. Jesus later appeared to the main group of disciples on that Sunday evening. They thought he was a ghost. And then a week later, when they told Thomas that they had seen the Lord, he didn't believe them either. No one believes that Jesus is risen from the dead. 700 years earlier, Isaiah had prophesied this exact thing would happen. He said that the servant of the Lord would suffer and die for the sins of the people. He prophesied that the Lord would raise up his servant and prolong his days. He prophesied that he would swallow up death forever, and the Lord God would wipe away the tears from all faces, and the reproach from his people he will take away from all the earth. But Isaiah also cautioned that who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Not all believed the news back then, and not all the people believe the news even today. In fact, none of us here this morning would have believed if it were not for the Holy Spirit who created life-saving faith inside of you. Scripture teaches us that faith comes through hearing, and through hearing the words of Christ. It is in the preaching of the gospel and in the administration of his sacraments, Jesus' sacraments, that the Holy Spirit works to create faith and nurture and sustain faith. And thanks be to God for his gospel message. As Paul says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And thanks be to God that he has created faith within you, forgiven your sins, and given you the hope of eternal life. Because prior to that, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. As a TV commercial says, you had fallen and you could not get up. You were dead in the water. But in the living waters of holy baptism, God raised you to life and breathed new life into your lungs in his holy name. You have been raised with Christ. So if Christ had not been raised from the dead, you would still be dead in your trespasses and sins. Your faith would be futile. And we of all people would be the most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He really is risen, and your sins are really forgiven. And you really have been given life in his name. And there is no better news. There is no better day of celebration than Easter. There is no greater joy than to know that the tomb is empty even today, and that Christ is risen, and your life and destiny, your whole eternal future, is united to him in baptism. Martin Luther once wrote, "The blessed resurrection is pure joy because we hear that our greatest treasure, over which we rejoice, is already in heaven above, and that only the most insignificant part remains behind, and that he will awaken this too and draw it after him as easily as a person awakens from sleep. There will be no longer any grief or suffering, and neither world nor devil will plague and sadden any more." Indeed, the tomb is empty. You have the eyewitness testimony of Holy Scripture, written by prophets and apostles, all under the inspiration of God. It's God's word, and it has the power to change even the hardest of hearts. The power of salvation for all who believe. The resurrection is a fact that cannot be proven false. Christ was crucified. He was dead. He was buried, bearing all your sins and carrying all your griefs to the cross. And he has taken away all your sin and iniquity and put them to death in his death. And we look forward to the last day, that day when Christ will come again and he will empty all tombs, those who believe to eternal life, those who disbelieve to eternal damnation. For all who believe, we will feast on God's holy mountain, just like Isaiah prophesied in our Old Testament reading this morning. And until that day, there is work to do. The angel told the women to tell Jesus' disciples the good news of the resurrection. So you too, fellow baptized disciples of Jesus, are likewise called to tell the good news of Christ crucified for sinners. Tell them he is no longer in the tomb, but he is risen. He's no longer waiting over in Galilee. No, he is risen, and he comes to you right here this morning, where he always promises to be. He's in the preaching of the gospel. He's in the remembrance of the promises made you in baptism. He is with you in the eating and drinking of his body and blood given and shed for you. He was invisible in the tomb to the ladies, seemingly, but he is visible to you today in his humble means, bringing you grace, forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. Visible means of water attached to his word, bread and wine attached to his word. The simple means become miraculous with God's word attached. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.